bum 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 bum.
Welcome to Everyday Musicality, the podcast in which we discuss all things related to Gordon's music learning theory and how it can help unlock the inner musician that lives inside of all of us. I'm your host, Heather Scholdeis, music educator and faculty member for the Gordon Institute for Music Learning. In this episode, we'll wrap up our first series, What is MLT?, by looking at some common misconceptions about music learning theory. Hello and welcome to the Everyday Musicality Podcast. This is Heather, and I'm happy to be with you today as we wrap up this first series of episodes. Thanks again to everyone who has rated or reviewed the show on Apple Podcasts, like Lady Ba-Ba-Ba, who said, "Thrilled to have an MLT podcast, and Heather is the perfect person to host it. If you are a music teacher, any kind of music teacher, you should subscribe and listen." Oh, thank you, Lady Ba-Ba-Ba. I really appreciate you taking the time to share your thoughts. If you are also enjoying the show so far, please take a moment to rate or review the show and share it with your friends and colleagues so that together we can bring more MLT out into the world. Thanks also to those who entered our first giveaway from sponsor GIA Publications. If you entered the giveaway by posting a picture on social media with a description of why you love teaching with MLT and the hashtags Everyday Musicality Podcast and GIA Publications, you'll find out at the end of today's episode whether you will be the lucky winner of Jill Reese's new book, Navigating Music Learning Theory, A Guide for General Music Teachers. And now, let's move into today's topic. A common saying you might hear spoken by MLT practitioners and that Ed Gordon himself would often say is, "We learn what something is by learning what it's not." So today we'll be wrapping up this first series of episodes answering the question, "What is MLT?" by looking at some common misconceptions about MLT. If you're new to the podcast or to MLT, you might want to go back and listen to the first three episodes if you haven't already. In those episodes, we discuss the core tenets of MLT, which are audiation, music aptitude, and sequential music learning. So, what are some common misunderstandings about MLT? I'll start with what might be the most common myth about MLT, that it is a method. As I mentioned in my earlier episode about audiation, calling MLT the Gordon method is a misnomer. Gordon himself stressed over and over again that MLT is not a method. A method is a series of sequential objectives that tells a teacher what to teach and in what order to teach it. Think, for example, a method book like Essential Elements or a Suzuki method book. Those are methods because they present a series of objectives that tell the teacher what to teach and in what order to teach it. MLT is not a method because it does not specifically prescribe what should be taught and when it should be taught. Instead, the focus of MLT is on how we learn music, which opens up possibilities rather than narrowing them down to a prescribed sequence. The ideas inherent in MLT do provide guidance on how instruction might be thoughtfully sequenced, but the theory itself does not prescribe a series of specific sequential objectives. There are several published methods based on MLT, which include Jump Right In the Music Curriculum for Elementary General Music, Jump Right In the Instrumental Series for Beginning Band, String, and Recorder Instruction, and Music Moves for Piano. However, I would guess that very few teachers actually pick up those materials and teach from them exactly as prescribed. Ultimately, it is up to each music educator to decide what they will teach and in what order, and MLT can provide invaluable insight to help guide these decisions. In addition to helping teachers shape their own teaching method, an understanding of the theoretical framework of MLT called skill learning sequence can enable teachers to make in-the-moment decisions in response to their students' musical needs. For example, let's say you notice when teaching that your students just need a challenge, that what you had planned is too easy for them. An understanding of skill learning sequence can enable you to spontaneously add a more challenging task. Likewise, if you notice that your students are struggling with a task, the skill learning sequence can provide guidance in how to remediate instruction and provide students with more readiness in order to be successful. So, unlike a teaching method, the collection of ideas known as MLT serves as a tool for guiding instruction by shedding light on how we learn when we learn music. I think of it as the difference between a set of specific directions to get from one place to another versus developing your own sense of direction. A method tells you how to get from one place to another, like the old days before GPS, where you would have to print out a set of directions on MapQuest to take with you in the car. It worked great, until it didn't. If a road was blocked or you somehow strayed from that path, it was easy to feel completely lost. That's how a method can feel, because it gives you the series of steps, but no bigger sense of direction if things go awry or aren't working. MLT is like taking a larger view, where you are developing your own sense of direction, looking at all the possible routes we could take from point A to point B, so that you can plan flexibly and reflexively in order to respond to your students' needs. As Gordon said in his keynote address at the 2015 International Conference on Music Learning Theory, MLT is, quote, not a curriculum or method. It is an objective explanation of how sequential skills in subjective music curriculums may be designed for students of all ages enrolled in classroom and instrumental music instruction. A quick side note, that keynote address and all of Gordon's previous keynote addresses were published in the spring 2017 edition of the journal published by the Gordon Institute for Music Learning called AUDEA. If you're a GIML member, you have access to an archive of past AUDEA issues on the For Members area of the website at www.gimmel.org. I'll link to it in the show notes. Also, if you're curious to know how the journal got its name, AUDEA, I talk about it in episode number one of this podcast, which answers the question, what is audiation? Okay, myth number one, busted. MLT is not a method. The second common misconception about MLT is that it's atomistic, that it breaks music down into a sterile collection of patterns that are not meaningful or applicable in real-world, holistic music making. It's just patterns, patterns, and more patterns, and that's not real music. However, anyone who says this is likely not aware that at the heart of MLT is the idea of a whole part whole learning process. Learning patterns is just one part of this process. So let's break this down. MLT utilizes a three-stage process of whole, part, whole learning, in which our holistic understanding of music and musical repertoire is enhanced through the development of a functional vocabulary of tonal patterns and rhythm patterns. The first whole in the whole, part, whole process is when students are exposed to and begin learning musical repertoire within a specific musical context, so in a certain tonality or meter. Then in the part of the process, students develop skills in conjunction with tonal patterns and rhythm patterns. In language, words are the basic building blocks, and our language understanding and ability to communicate through language is developed by building our vocabulary of words that we can use. Similarly, to developing this vocabulary of words and language, tonal patterns and rhythm patterns act as our musical words. Interacting with tonal patterns and rhythm patterns helps students develop a functional vocabulary of musical sounds. And by learning those basic building blocks of pitches or rhythms, students can interact with music more meaningfully when it comes back to the whole. In that third stage of the whole part whole process, students take what they have learned through pattern instruction and apply those skills to the musical repertoire, resulting in greater musical understanding. Holistic and active music making is a vital part of MLT. It's not just patterns, and it's not patterns for the sake of patterns. Pattern instruction is the means through which students learn the building blocks of music so that they can holistically make music with greater understanding. And that is the ultimate goal of MLT. Related to this is a third common misunderstanding about MLT, and that is the assumption that it involves students memorizing and drilling patterns. Memorization is not the goal in MLT. The goal is audiation. We compare music learning to language learning a lot. So in terms of language development, we didn't learn to speak our native language through mere memorization of words or by having someone sit us down and drill us on those memorized words. Instead, we were immersed in a rich language vocabulary in which we heard lots of words and interacted with those words, and eventually we started to understand and incorporate those words into our own functional language vocabulary. This is the idea with pattern instruction. Rather than making students memorize patterns or drilling them on their pattern memory, in MLT, we immerse students in a rich musical environment in which they hear lots of patterns and interact with those patterns, and eventually students start to audiate those patterns and incorporate them into their own functional musical vocabulary. If you're new to MLT, I talk more about audiation and sequential music learning in episodes number 1 and number 3, so you can take a listen to those for further explanation of those ideas. Another idea to stress is that building pattern vocabulary can happen in a variety of ways. It could be singing or chanting patterns, improvising patterns, reading or writing patterns, and, most importantly, in terms of the whole part, whole process, looking at how repertoire is made up of tonal patterns and rhythm patterns, and helping students audiate those patterns within the larger context. I'm planning the next series of episodes to look more in depth at this idea of whole part whole learning, including tonality, meter, pattern instruction, and an overview of the skill learning sequence, so stay tuned for that. So, second and third myths busted. MLT is not just patterns, and it's not about memorizing patterns. A fourth misconception about MLT is that it is not engaging, that it's sterile, boring, and unenjoyable. At the risk of sounding cheeky, if you're teaching MLT and it's boring and unenjoyable, then maybe you're doing it wrong. Any approach can be sterile if taught in a sterile way. MLT can be very playful, joyful, and musically fulfilling, but it's up to the teacher to infuse it with joy, just like any approach. Let's take the example of learning sequence activities. If you're new to MLT, learning sequence activities, or LSAs for short, are one specific way of doing pattern instruction in MLT. And I've heard some people say that their students think LSAs are boring or they hate doing them. On the other hand, my former students loved LSAs because I posed it as a fun challenge and I worked to inject it with playfulness and musical expression. If anything, I think MLT has the potential to be more enjoyable because when students are being challenged appropriately in an individualized way and are engaged in learning real musical skills and becoming independent musicians, we have to resort less to tricks in order to keep them excited about learning. The students are excited about learning because they feel capable and they can sense that they are growing as musicians. If you're new to MLT, a big part of helping each student feel appropriately challenged and successful centers around the idea of music aptitude, so you might want to go back and listen to episode number 2 for more about that. So fourth myth busted. MLT can be super fun and engaging, not just for the students, but also for the teacher. But it's up to us to make that happen. A fifth misunderstanding about MLT is that it's all about rote learning and does not facilitate student creativity. I think this relates to the previous misconception that it's about drilling and memorizing patterns. Remember, that is not the goal. The goal is to help students develop audiation and build a functional musical vocabulary. But just like with language, the vocabulary is not an end in itself. The point is so that students are more equipped to have and express their own musical thoughts so that they can engage with music independently now and for the rest of their lives. So while rote learning is an essential piece of MLT, we don't stop there. The ultimate purpose of rote learning in MLT is to prepare students to teach themselves and to make their own music. For example, students don't just learn to sing tonal patterns and chant rhythm patterns in MLT, they also create and improvise their own patterns. They don't just learn to perform songs and chants, they learn to improvise and compose their own songs and chants. They don't just learn to use tools like solfege and rhythm syllables by rote, they learn to put syllables to new sounds and improvise with syllables and use syllables as a tool for developing notational audiation, or the ability to audiate the sounds that the music notation represents without relying on an instrument. All of these different kinds of learning that go beyond rote learning, in which students are figuring things out independently or creating their own music, these are what we call in MLT inference learning. And in MLT, inference learning should happen early and often. In fact, because creating, improvising, and composing can happen long before the introduction of notation and music theory in MLT, it can actually help students be creative at an earlier age. For example, a few years ago, I did a research study in which I surveyed elementary music teachers in Michigan about their beliefs about composition, particularly composition in the elementary music program. And many of the teachers who responded implied that composition by its very nature is the notating of a piece of music and requires knowledge of music theory. Therefore, those teachers tended to believe that they couldn't teach composition until later grade levels because students needed to have enough notation and theory knowledge to be able to do it. But the truth is that notation and theory aren't necessary for composing. Just like little kids can make up a story and retell it even if they don't have the ability to write it down yet, young children can make up a song, and as long as they can replicate it, that counts as composition, even if it's not notated. If you're interested in that research study about elementary general music teachers' beliefs about composition, I'll post a link in the show notes to a summary I shared on my own music education research blog that I call Research to Real Life. In this blog, I share summaries of a variety of recent music education research studies, along with practical applications for the classroom. So in the post about my composition study, I also shared some ideas for audiation-based composition that can be done orally without any notation at all. Finally, one more misconception about MLT is that it is not culturally responsive, that MLT is only applicable to Eurocentric art music or classical music. The concepts of audiation and sequential music learning can be applied to virtually any kind of music. If we boil MLT down to its essence, the main idea in MLT is really that learning music by listening and doing first and developing a sense of tonal and rhythm context are the keys to becoming fluent and independent music makers. Since virtually all forms of music are aural and have some kind of tonal or rhythm context, the main ideas of MLT can be applied to virtually any kind of music because it's just a framework for how we develop tonal and rhythm audiation and skills. Now, I will acknowledge that Gordon's tonal content learning sequence and rhythm content learning sequence are pretty Eurocentric because the hierarchy of tonalities and meters in those content sequences are very specific to Western music. But if Ed were still alive, I'm sure he would acknowledge this and suggest that anyone working outside of the paradigm of Western music should come up with alternate content learning sequences that are more fitting. However, this doesn't mean that we should necessarily throw the baby out with the bathwater. The ideas for developing tonal audiation can be applied to any tonal music because those musics are built on a tonal center. So helping people develop audiation of resting tone and a vocabulary of tonal patterns that outline harmonic functions around that resting tone can be useful in a wide variety of musical settings, as can developing audiation of multiple levels of beat and a vocabulary of rhythm patterns. But it's up to each teacher to decide the specific repertoire they're going to use in doing those things. It can be Western classical music, or it can be pop, or rock, or hip-hop, or rap, or bluegrass, or EDM. The belief that it is important to be culturally responsive and incorporate music in our classrooms that is relevant to students is not incompatible with MLT. It's just up to the teacher to decide how they're going to merge those things. I hope this discussion has been helpful in dispelling some of the myths about MLT. If this episode has shed light on your understanding of MLT, or if you have further questions about any of these ideas, I would love to hear about it. Just email me at everydaymusicality@gmail.com. I'm also hoping to do an episode in the future in which I answer listener questions, so please send a question my way. And now, it's time to announce the winner of our first giveaway from sponsor GIA Publications. We had many entries on social media, and it was so fun reading your posts about why you love teaching with MLT. For example, one person said, "I love teaching with MLT because it allows my students to have so much freedom in their musicianship and probes them to think deeper." And another person said, "I love teaching with MLT because it makes me a better musician." Isn't that the truth? If you didn't enter the contest, or if you did, you might still enjoy searching for the hashtag Everyday Musicality Podcast to read more of these entries for yourself. However, unless the poster set the post settings to public, you'll probably only be able to see those from the people that you know on social media. And it's possible that I might not have been able to see them all. So for future giveaways, make sure if you're going to enter, make sure you set the post to public or tag Everyday Musicality Podcast on Facebook. Okay. So to choose the winner fairly, I put together a list of all of those who entered in which I assigned each person a number, and then I used an online random number generator to select one. And now I'm excited to announce that the person whose number was selected was Mr. Butterf Music, who entered via Instagram. Please email me at everydaymusicality@gmail.com and give me your preferred mailing address, and I'll get that out to you ASAP. I'll be announcing how you can enter our second giveaway from GIA Publications in the next episode, so keep listening to find out more. In the meantime, if you have questions, comments, or suggestions for future episodes, please get in touch. You can email me or send me a voice memo at everydaymusicality@gmail.com. I would love to hear from you. Thanks for listening, and let's keep musicking every day.